I was like, I'm losing my mind. And now you're going to have to tell my mom. And all she's going to think is, I let my daughter move out to California and then she did a bunch of drugs and went crazy.
Vicky, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. Welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I am your host, Nikki Levy, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Don't Tell My Mother is where your favorite humans from movies, TV, sports, comedy tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know, but they get on this mic and spill their guts to you. If you were a Chelsea Lately fan like I was, you totally know today's guest, Miss Sarah Colonna. Sarah was a panelist on the show, and she was a writer, which means she pulled double duty and had to be funny on and off camera. Not an easy feat, but she totally nailed it. You can see Sarah on Shameless, on the Netflix show Insatiable, and check out her website, sarahcolonna.com, for tour dates and links to her books, because she is like a bona fide writer. Sarah is telling us a story today about her trip to Burning Man. Enough said. Besides Sarah, we have another very special guest joining us, guys. You kind of know her because she's in our theme song. Those are her actual voicemails. But I will introduce you to her properly as Judy from the Bronx. Yes, guys, my mother is joining us today. Get ready for some motherfunking fun. Here is me and Miss Sarah Colonna.
Just don't tell my mother.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sarah, I'm so happy to see you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. It feels like it's been like 2-3 years in the making too, since I was supposed to do your live show and didn't get to.
Well, I was thinking about that. You were supposed to do the live show and then you got a really big gig on a Netflix show called Insatiable.
I did, yes. Hard to complain when work, but it just is also like, but you were doing this and that was going to be fun and I couldn't wait to do your show, which is also amazing. Aww. So I love that you're also now turned it into this, because here we go.
So where are you coming from right now, since nobody's anywhere? I don't know where anybody is anymore.
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in Sherman Oaks,
okay.
California, the okay. Valley, as they call it.
Did you put a bra on today?
Because I did. I did, okay. Honestly, just for this.
You did?
Yeah, I put a bra on for you. Just so, because
Sarah's showing me her bra. I did too. Look, but just it's a sports bra. See, does that count?
Yes, it totally counts. It's a thing that goes between your chest and your shirt. It counts. Anything counts, even if it's a piece of tape.
Have you had like a pandemic pleasure? Like the thing that is maybe, you know, maybe gotten you through, but also maybe like wasn't the best for you?
Mine would be wine and lasagna.
Why lasagna?
Well, I'm not much of a cook. The reason I say lasagna is it takes a really long time to make.
Okay.
And it would eat up several hours of the day.
Pun intended.
Making. Yes. Yes. So I was like, what can I make that takes a long time to cook?
Did you make your own lasagna noodles?
No. No, Nikki. Are you crazy?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. And of course, noodles go well with wine.
Yes. I guess I've just always been sort of like, oh, I like to have a drink with dinner, and then that turns mm-hmm. into like social events. And so, and my husband and I he works out of state 6 months of the year, and
he's a football player.
A football player, yeah. So he and I would basically found this thing where it was like, if I was to go see him when he was working, or if he was coming with me on the road, it was happy hour time. Like that's when we got to hang out. So when quarantine started, we were both like, is happy hour now because all the restaurants and bars are closed and we're just at home. Yeah, we haven't been home this much ever in our lives. It was just like trying to kill time.
How did you guys meet?
Well, we actually met.
It's a story. Not the one you're here to tell, but I have to know.
So he used to watch Chelsea Lately, and I was a writer and panelist on that show.
You were brilliant on that show. That is the big Sarah Colonna break. That is how I got to know you.
Thank you. It was super fun. I mean, that show, I don't think you could do it now, but we had a blast doing it at the time. He used to watch it, and then one time he was playing a playoff game. Uh-huh. And Ross Matthews, who is a big...
From Chelsea Lately.
Yeah.
Okay. Ross, adorable.
He's a big Seahawks fan. He was on the sidelines, and my husband at the time obviously didn't even know him. He went up to Ross and said, "Hey, I watch you on Chelsea Lately. I have a crush on Sarah Colonna. Could you introduce
Stop
us?
It.
Yeah. He kind of hunted me down that
Stop
way.
Stop it.
I know. And it was very strange because Ross wrote me and said, "Look, this guy has a crush on you. I know that your response is going to be that this is a creepy athlete hitting on me on Twitter, but wow. I'm here to tell you that I've never heard a bad word about him. He's a super nice guy. And, you know, I think you should just respond." Yeah, he was basically like, "You should just respond." So I did. And we ended up talking, and cut to Ross actually officiated our wedding because
what?
It worked out.
I had no idea Ross was like a little matchmaker.
Yeah, totally. It's funny because the year that he messaged me or asked Ross to introduce us, they were literally, he was on the Seahawks and they were playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, wow. I started talking to him a week before he played in the Super Bowl, and they won it. They won the Super Bowl that year. And we had just started talking. And I mean, and by talking, I mean, I think I had just given him my phone number. You know, we'd moved off of Twitter, slid out of my DMs, I guess they would say. And he, the night that they won the Super Bowl, we still hadn't met in person. We had just been talking, and he started all night. He was like sending me messages, texting me from their after party, and a photo of him with a trophy and a photo of him on the field after and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, if there's any chance for him to be a gross athlete, it's now. Like, this is the night he could be. I felt like he was trying to make it very clear to me, "Hey, my focus is on you. I'm not running around New York with my penis in my hand because I just won the Super Bowl." Like, I just was like, "Oh, he was very focused on making sure he shared the experience with me in this weird way."
What a love bug.
Yeah, he's a real love bug. He really is.
So what was your experience with guys before John? Like, were you someone who dated all the time? Serial monogamist, or not as much luck with guys, or what was it? What was your deal?
I was kind of a mix. Like, my last boy.
You were going to say a mess.
Well, and that too. I'd say both. I mean, I always wanted to be in a relationship. I didn't always. I was always like, "Oh, I like having a boyfriend. That seems nice." But until I dated a guy, the last person I dated. That I dated for a significant amount of time before I got married was like 5 years on and off.
Okay.
But he was I had a lot of trust issues with him and I was never wrong. It was very much one of those things where I was like literally just broke his password at one point because I was like, "Hold on, something's up." And I was correct. And then I was told, "Well, why were you looking at my phone?" I'm like, "Well, because of this. Like, this is the reason. Like, because I see it. Because I see. I was right." And I've found everyone has a line, but I have found for the most part, every time I've had a gut instinct to feel that way, it's because there was a reason to. And with my husband, I've never even considered it. Like, he's had to hand me his phone while he was driving or something and said, "Oh, look this up," or "Look this up." And I've had to say, "What's your password again?" He's like, I've given it to you a million times. And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't need to remember it because you're not a pig." Like, I don't, there's just.
Right, right. Well, speaking of Chelsea Lately, you were on almost every episode of that show. You wrote on that show behind the scenes. I always love to ask comedians this question. What do you think in your life has made you funny?
It's so hard to say because it's always that weird place. I have that weird ego thing of like, I don't want to say, well, I am funny, but like, no, that's my fucking job. So if I didn't say I was funny, sorry for cursing.
I want you to say it because you are funny.
I don't know. I find my mom to be really funny and she doesn't even know it. And it's almost like I stole part of that from her. And I'm like, well, if you don't know it, I'm going to know it. And I'm going to find this sense of humor that I was born with or whatever. And I'm going to run with it.
Tell me about your mom. What is she like?
She's the best. She works at a funeral home.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. She's worked there, God, since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. So, and she still works there.
What does she do?
She's the receptionist, but I have definitely spoken to her when she's in the middle of doing non-receptionist jobs. Like one time, I'm not kidding, one time I called her and she picked up the phone and she was like huffing and puffing and she's like, well, I'm helping Robert move a body.
Stop.
Like, what? You don't have to pick up the phone when a body is being moved. It's cool. Like, you can just hit send me a voicemail.
That's like sex. Like, you could just hit decline.
Yeah, you don't have to. So she's involved in all of it because she's worked there forever. And it's a small town. I mean, it's Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's not tiny, but she does everything. And she runs the place and everyone knows her. And
wow.
When I call on Mother's Day, I'll call the local flower shop to send her flowers. And they're like, oh, Cheryl. Yeah, we got it. Like, they know
Cheryl.
Yeah, they know Cheryl because she's the best. And they know her because they work with her.
Right. Of course, the florist would know the funeral.
Right. Home. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Yeah.
You're going to tell a story today about a crazy experience at Burning Man. Does your mother know the story?
Okay. So I wrote the story, a little bit of it, in my first book. My mom read it. She read that. And she has seen my stand-up too. And I'll tell stories. And she always goes, you just have such a good imagination.
Oh my God.
You know, the way you just like tell these stories that never happened. And I'm like, right. Yeah, no, that just never happened. Like, she has just decided that when I tell a story, it's just not true.
Well, I know the story is true because you're telling me it's true and I believe you.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm
no,
not
it's
your
true.
Mother.
It's better for her to just bury her head in the sand and be like, my daughter never did that. And that's how she lives and it's fine.
Sarah, I want to hear this story. Tell me everything.
This is a story about the time I went to Burning Man and it was a really bad trip. So I was 24 and I was dating a guy I mean, I'd only been in Los Angeles for 2 or 3 years and I was dating this guy. He was also a comedian and he and his friends were going to Burning Man, which if anyone listening doesn't know what that is, it's a terrible festival.
Scares me to death.
People love it. People love it. And I can't for the life of me figure out why, but it's a festival in the desert and people take RVs and they stay there for a week. And it's very much it's a drug fest, really. I mean, sometimes it's hard drugs. Sometimes it's just pot. Sometimes people just go and drink. I mean, I'm not saying everyone there is doing hard drugs, but there's a lot of drugs going around if you would like to have them. And I am not a drug person. I never have been. I remember, God, when I was in high school, did you ever read the Sweet Valley High?
Fuck yes, I did.
Okay.
Sweet Valley High, Sweet Valley Twins. Yes, all of
yes. it. Yes. Okay. Oh my God. God bless you. Thank
Love you.
Thank you for knowing
we're contemporaries,
this.
Girl.
Yes.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Yes.
All of it.
Well, remember when Regina, their friend Regina, did cocaine and she had a heart attack?
Okay. Yes.
So I was like,
Jesus.
God, this makes me so happy, by the way. I was just like, oh, if I do cocaine, I'll have a heart attack and die like Regina. Like, I just assumed that's how, for whatever reason, drinking has never scared me, but drugs terrified. So I was just not a drug person. And I'm going to this thing in the desert. And now the guy that I was dating, I'd only been seeing him for a couple months. He's got 4 guy friends and they all have the plan, the trip. And then my boyfriend at the time said, we want you to go. I just was like, am I crashing a guy's trip? And he said, no, they really want to get to know you. It's a new thing. We're kind of blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, great. It was nothing about him that made me nervous or even his friends. It was about going to a festival. Like, I'm very much, even when I was 15, probably, go to a concert, sure, but give me a seat. I'm just not a big crowded. I'm an old lady at the concert.
You're an old lady. I
want a seat. I don't want to be in the pit. I just want, I want to be as close as possible, but as comfortable as possible.
Burning Man doesn't sound like it's your bag.
No. Okay. And it was, fly to, I think we had to fly to Reno and then drive, and we had an RV, and then we're in this trailer, basically, RV trailer sleeping thing. I get there and I'm like, I'm just going to be all in. Like, I'm going to do what everyone else at this festival is doing, because we were walking around and there was like people riding bicycles naked. And I'm like, I'm from Arkansas. This is my first exposure to like any kind of outdoor rave type party. Most I had done is like drink beer by a creek. This was like, it was new to me. It was all a little new
same,
to me.
Babe. It's not the same.
Not the same. And I was like, well, whatever. I'm all in. I came here. I know him. His friends seem great. His friends were great. Everybody was great. But they said, do you want to take mushrooms?
Oh, shit.
And I said, ugh, sure. Just don't tell my mother.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
And you had not done them.
I had not done mushrooms. And I said, okay, I'll do mushrooms. How bad can it be? And they were like, you'll see colors and you'll have fun and people will seem, you'll just want to talk to everybody, but we got you, we're with you, whatever. And they, all of that was true, but it's a very personal reaction to these things. So, I've heard there's two types of highs on mushrooms. Like, you have a blast or you think you're going to die. And I was definitely, I think I'm going to die.
Fucking Regina.
Oh, it was, yes, I definitely thought I was about to be Regina. I took however many, and
how do you take them? I've never taken mushrooms.
I think they were in a tea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they made like a tea out of them. And I started walking around with them. I start to get pretty high, and I start realizing I'm in the desert with five guys I don't know. One that I kind of know, four that I don't. And I start thinking about how I watch a lot of Lifetime movies, and I start thinking about how this could end badly for me, right? And through no fault of their own, they're not doing anything. They were wonderful. But I just start panicking. I start having a bad reaction.
What are you imagining? Like, what are the bad, what are the like horrible possibilities that your brain is going to, I guess, in that moment?
At the beginning, it was, nobody really knows I'm here. They wouldn't know where to find me. They know I'm at a thing in the desert, but like, how do you locate me in all this chaos?
Oh God. So you're totally freaking out.
Yeah. So my boyfriend at the time sees that I'm not doing great. And he was very, very sweet. He was like, let's get you back to the RV and we'll, just get you away from everyone and maybe you'll start feeling overwhelmed. Cause like things were fuzzy and things were, lights were looking, everything was weird. Yeah. So we got back into the RV and I started talking to him about my mom and my family and because we used to go camping when I was a kid. So I started going, when I went camping before, I didn't feel like this. And he was like, this, what does this have to do with camping? And I was like, well, we're in an RV, we're in a trailer. And I used to feel safe in RVs, but now I don't feel safe. And he was just like, oh, what God. Is happening? So I started kind of like going back to what it would, what I felt like as a kid to be camping and how this was very different. And he's like, well, yeah, because you're an adult doing drugs at a party, basically. Like you're not,
you're fucked up in the desert.
Fucked up in the desert. And
there's like orgies going on at Burning Man. Oh, this is like God. The least fucked up thing. You're like, he's like, do you know where you are? Do you know what you've agreed to?
He's like, you're good. It's going to be fine. But he was like walking me through it and talking to me. And he was like, just tell me more stories about camping. And I was like, we used to have a pop-up tent. And he was like, what the fuck is she talking about? It was, it just, but then what really got me and what really made me uncomfortable and made me I will never do mushrooms again.
Yeah.
Was I started thinking that I was going insane. I literally thought I was going insane. I was like, I'm losing my mind. And now you're going to have to tell my mom. And it kept coming back to my mom, which was, I said, you're going to have to tell my mom that I lost my mind and you're going to have to, and all she's going to think is, I let my daughter move out to California and then she did a bunch of drugs and went crazy, just like every warning I've ever thought in my life was going to happen to my daughter. And that's what's going to happen. And I was like picturing myself in a straitjacket because I just felt, I felt like there was no coming back from how I felt. I was like, this is it. My mind will never be the same. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life.
How many hours were you feeling this crazy?
Like 6 hours.
What? And up till now, what was the worst drug you'd ever done?
Just drank nothing.
That's it. No, so no, not even
Well,
weed.
I guess I smoked a little pot. I guess I had smoked pot. Yeah, I'd smoked pot in college.
And now you're tripping balls on shrooms in the middle of nowhere.
I'm not kidding you. When I was like, I said to him over and over, you're going to have to tell my mom that I went crazy and that, and please like tell her it's not her fault. And he was just like, oh my God. What have I done? Like, what? Who have I brought with me?
How did the trip finally end? The trip, meaning the mushroom trip, not the Burning Man trip.
Well, it. I took ecstasy.
Almost forgot that part.
I swear to God, now that you asked me, I'm like, oh, that's what happened. Is I took ecstasy and it was over. They convinced me to do ecstasy and not even someone, I honestly think his friend was like, listen, I think you're just going to feel better if you do ecstasy. And at this point, it's not like we can get you back to town. You're here. So why don't you just try this? It can't be worse. And I was like, all right. So I took a little ecstasy. They gave me, we had all been told to bring like costumes because you dress up at these dumb flipping festival events.
I love everything about this. What costumes did you bring?
Oh, I put on a prom dress from like, I like basically got a prom dress from a vintage store. It was, I remember it. I can picture it was teal, strapless and really, really fluffy. And from like the waist down and chiffon or whatever that awful material is. And I put that on, I took ecstasy. And within an hour, I was another feeling I'd never had, which was super high on ecstasy and in a really good mood. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not crazy. I guess I'm just in a good mood. I mean, it was a big roller coaster. And now we're sitting at the Burning Man ceremony. And I remember I was finally in a really, really, I was in a good mood. And I was sitting next to this guy who was a stranger. Everyone was just sitting around. And my boyfriend was somewhere around there. But like this guy started talking to me and he was like, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a bartender. And he was like, oh, how old are you? And I said, I'm 24. And he goes, oh, why are you 24 and just a bartender? And I remember thinking, why am I 24 and just a bartender? Oh, and then I went, wait, I'm fucking 24. I'm 24. It's fine. And I yelled at him and said, you're not going to ruin my buzz like the mushrooms did, and walked away. And that was...
Stop. Did it make you rethink your life? Did you have that thought later, though, of like,
oh, I did.
I be doing something more with my life?
Of course I did. It came up to me many times. But then I was like, this guy was also just a guy sitting at Burning Man also on drugs asking me what I was doing with my life. Like, what's he doing with his life?
Yeah. He's projecting. Mm-hmm.
He was. Yeah. So basically I got off my bad high by getting high on something else.
How did this trip this trip,
literal
all
trip.
Of the trips, how did this trip change how you thought of, I don't know, drugs or dating or Burning Man? Or
even though I had a really, really bad trip, I had someone next to me, even though we were kind of in a newer relationship, he was just mm-hmm. a good person. Like I had someone next to me that sat with me through it and didn't laugh at me and didn't throw me to the wolves or didn't make me the butt of the jokes, that he literally just sat next to me and talked me through it. And I kind of realized, I didn't even really think about that until you just asked me, but it was nice. That helped, because I could have easily just been, he could have been like, this bitch, like she's nuts, and left and closed the door. And I could have been alone in there for the 6 hours that I thought I was going crazy. And instead he just sat by my side like a normal person should, but you never know, especially 25-year-old guy, you know?
Like what could have been a really, really dangerous and kind of shitty situation actually turned into like a great learning experience.
Yeah. Usually when you start a story with, I went to the desert with five guys I didn't know and did drugs, it's not recommended. So I'm definitely, I'm not suggesting anyone do it. but I am grateful that the people I was with were gentlemen and people who actually were kind of on the lookout for me when it happened.
No, you're right. It went as good as taking two hard drugs in one night could possibly go. Now, we usually on this show, you know, call your mom, but I know Cheryl is a little introverted, and also she's probably busy moving a body. So we have the next best thing. You told me it was okay for us to call my mom.
Yes.
My mom is named Judy. She's not from Arkansas. She is from the Bronx.
Okay. Oh boy, Judy from the Bronx. Here we go.
She crazy. All right, let's call my mother.
Most of my life trying not to get pregnant.
Mom, you have to turn off the TV.
Oh, you set the TV. Sarah, I'm listening to you right now.
Oh, Judy, hi. How are you?
Good.
My mom loves to do her podcast homework. When I tell her someone's on, she just loves televisions and she loves comedy. So she's like, she researches you, Sarah, more than I've researched you. And I like, that's my job. And I think she does a better job.
That is amazing. Because at first I was like, whose voice is in Judy's room? It's so annoying. Oh, that's me. I was like,
stop.
That's my voice.
Sarah was born in Wiesbaden. Germany.
I was. Yes. Oh, my God. You really did do your research. Yes. I was born on an Air Force base in Wiesbaden.
Wow. Now,
unfortunately, we moved when I was like 2 and a half. So I don't remember Germany at all. But I know I was born there and I have a birth certificate to prove it.
Mom, Sarah told us a story today that she isn't quite ready to tell her mother, but she does need to get off her chest and at least tell you.
Okay.
Okay, Judy, are you ready? Buckle up.
Wait. Let me turn my chair around. Hold on. I'm getting into my captain's chair.
Okay.
Oh my God, Mom.
Oh my God, you're already my favorite. Okay. So, Judy, I told her a story about a time when I was in my early 20s and I went to a rave party in the desert with a boyfriend that I had only been dating for a couple months and four of his friends, and I did a drug that I should not have done.
You have to tell my mom the drug. The drugs.
Oh, it was mushrooms. It was mushrooms. And then followed by ecstasy. But that's fine.
How'd you cook it?
Mom, this isn't a stir fry. It's a hallucinogen.
My father, I'm serious. My father said to me, you can never do drugs, Judy.
And then you never did?
No.
Well, my mom told me not to do drugs, and then I did too.
If you were Sarah's mother, would you have ever let her go to Burning Man with five other guys? One was her boyfriend.
Well, I don't. Tell me about Burning Man. Man, whatever it is.
Well, it's like a festival in the desert. Like you fly into Reno and then you drive several hours into the desert and you set up camp basically for a weekend. And there's a bunch of strangers there and there's drugs and they do like
mushrooms.
Yeah, and mushrooms. And they do things like ride bicycles naked, which seems uncomfortable. Yeah. And yeah, they do a lot of different events.
Well, hey, listen, we had our Woodstock, right? It sounds exactly the same. So the end. How old were you at the time?
24.
I would definitely let you go.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
And I'm coming with you.
She said, "I'm coming with you." You honestly, Judy, if I ever go back, I'm only going with you. I'll tell
you
right now.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Sarah, is there anything that you've wanted to ask your mother that you haven't, but maybe you want to ask mine?
Okay, I'm going to ask you something that I think I know the answer to from my own mom, but I'm just going to ask you and you can answer it. Have you ever watched porn?
I love porn.
Okay. What? Sarah.
Okay. I love it.
Nobody told me this was coming. What kind of porn do you watch? I swear to God, I've never asked you this. Sarah?
Well, if you remember, Daddy used to have all these porn tapes.
I do, because I took one to college. I never told you.
Okay. Well, I used to watch it with him. I used to watch it with him.
Sarah?
And then I used to watch it without him.
Nothing seems to embarrass you anymore, Mom.
I think I've heard it all being your mother, let me tell you.
I'm so glad that, Sarah, I'm so glad that you were here. I loved your story. I loved getting to live vicariously through you for Burning Man, since I will never, ever, ever show my, I will never go there.
No.
Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for taking time away from the cat. I know.
Yeah, really.
You don't like to.
That's a biggie, let me tell you, Sarah.
That's a biggie. All right, Mom, Sarah, take us out. If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Guys, thank you for hanging today with me and Sarah and Judy from the Bronx. We hope this was a cautionary tale about Burning Man. Don't forget, subscribe to Don't Tell My Mother wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother. We'll see you soon. Love ya. Mwah.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukhoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Edited and engineered by John Ross. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.